Locke looking back to the end zone. Fires, intercepted in the end zone. Out to the 10, the 15, the 20. Oh, baby. Jeff Heath, who threw the hold, came up with his second interception of the game and saves the Raiders here in the closing seconds of the first half.
Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. You can visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. We're here on a Victory Monday celebrating the Raiders' big AFC West win against the Broncos. 37-12 wasn't close. It was in the first half. But as you heard coming back in, the big interception, that was the second interception, actually, by Jeff Heath in the game. Every game yields a hero, and Jeff Heath was one of those yesterday for the Raiders. Okay, we're going to go out. Eddie from L.A. has been very, very patient on the phone through two guests. Eddie, sorry for the wait, man. How you feeling on this Monday?
Fantastic. A little bittersweet. You know, we lost Ricky up there in San Laredo, so RIP to him and his family. I mean, that was a really great loss. But other than that, man, it was a fantastic Sunday. I'm hearing a lot that Raider fans are somehow whining or complaining that we're not getting national media attention. You know what? Raiders have never needed national media attention. We've always been the black eye. We've always walked around, do what we want, take what we want attitude. If that's what we want, we can't sit there and wait for Alex, you know, for all these kind of people to start talking about us. We go do what we do. We've been doing it. You know, how many games in the past have we faced a team we needed to beat? A team that we could easily take care of and barely squeak out of there and sometimes even lose. Yeah, we come out of there and just put in butt whooping. I mean, make those boys go home and cry to mommy. And we're still complaining about it. I don't get it. The defense came out and came out on fire. Five takeaways. And that's somehow a problem to some people. I don't know what game they were watching, but I just saw something. And I'm damn happy it's a week before the Chiefs. That gives you all the momentum you need. Now, you got to come out. You know these guys are going to come out on fire. Andy Reid and his whole bus deal, I don't care what he brings out. We're going to be ready.
Yeah. Eddie, good call, stuff, man, as always. And you're right. You know what? The bottom line is, too, especially I have to remind myself, Q, I always, your words, your voice in my head about the cesspool.
Yeah.
And I think that even good fans like Eddie, we get a lot of really good fans who call our show. I'm very appreciative of all of you. And I was just telling at the game, actually, I was talking to Hondo in the press box, and he was asking me about callers. And I said, you know what? He's like, do you get some of these crazy calls? I said, no, we get really thoughtful callers who we don't always agree with, but they always come with a take that is really well thought out, logical. They're not overly emotional. They're kind of just level-headed. And that's how most Raiders fans are. Raiders fans are the most intelligent football fans you'll meet. They know football. So when you see this stuff on social media, you just have – those people are there for attention, folks. They want the discord because they want attention. If you ignore that and you actually listen to Raider fans, they're just not that way, Q.
Well, and the thing about it is Twitter is such, you know, like we say, cesspool, but it's such a small amount of people.
Yes.
We look at it like it's such a large amount of people because we're on it so much, which is sick. But, I mean, we do it because it's our job.
Yes.
And so that's what we do. I get it. I'm on it for information and being able to, you know, communicate with 99% of the people that are, you know, sane and know what they're talking about. But, I mean, like you said, there's trolls out there. There's people out there that just are miserable for a living. And so you start seeing all this on Twitter and it looks like, oh, my gosh, there's so many people that are so angry when really it's a small amount of people that are on Twitter that are courageous enough to be on that cesspool. And I'll tell you, the day I don't ever have to be on it again is the day I won't be on it again.
Exactly. And you know what? I think even for the best of us, every once in a while it gets to you, right? And you respond, even though you should.
Every once in a while, dog.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it happened to me a couple times last week, and I was like, you know what? And then I think back, and you're like, man, why did I do that? It's so ridiculous. So
it's wasted time. You can never get back.
You can never get it back, and it's never going to change the ignorance that you're encountering there. Okay, we're going out to Ruben on Vegas. In Vegas, I should say. Ruben, what's up, man?
Victory Monday, guys. Victory Monday.
Yeah.
Man, I drive for a living. Q, really quick. Friday said I was a stalker because I know where Lotus Broadcasting is. I'm not a stalker. I've actually won prizes there. So I've been to the station to pick up a prize here and there. But anyways, great game. Team effort, man. Team effort. O-line. You know, honestly, even Witten being that veteran president of a tight end. You don't have the big numbers and whatnot, but this is veteranship, I think, means a lot to the team there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just driving around town like I do for a living, man, you just feel the energy. I see Raider flags everywhere on cars, on, you know, Allegiant Stadium. The line was long outside the Raider image today. And like I said, Victory Monday, let's enjoy the win. We got tomato, ketchup and mustard next. Let's beat them, man. Raiders!
I love
it. Hey, Rube.
Yes, sir.
Who do you drive for, if you don't mind asking?
I drive for a supply house. Basically, I supply I've been to the stadium. I've been to the practice facility. I've been to Coach Gruden's house before. I deliver supplies for plumbing. So we deliver a lot of pipe and copper and gas pipe and heaters and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So we do
delivering the pipe around Vegas. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm laying the pipe around Vegas. Yes, sir. That's my Raiders.
I love it, Ruben. Just make sure you put protection over those pipes so they don't get damaged.
Easy.
All right, Ruben is. I love Ruben
family
too because you know what, Ruben. Even when the Raiders lose, Ruben calls up and he's positive.
Yeah,
I love that.
No,
man.
He is.
I love that.
I mean, look, Rome wasn't built overnight, but the Raiders are doing a damn good job, man. 6-3 after 9 games. That's pretty stinking good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to get to one more call or maybe a couple more calls before we get to the Q-tip because we got to know what's on Q's mind. We're going out to our good friend. Down in Albuquerque, it's H in Albuquerque. What's going on, H?
What up, H?
Raiders. Gentlemen, it's a good day, man. Hey, I got the Donko blowout I wanted. It didn't happen the way I thought it would, but it was a great game nonetheless. And I'm really excited about the last quarter of the season because what I hope is that we'll be fully healthy. We'll have a full offensive line complement. And what this team has accomplished with the injuries and stuff like that, I just think we're going to peak at the right time and we're going to be just looking really good. We haven't hit our ceiling yet, and there's a lot of great football left in us, and I'm really excited to see what happens. As far as Nick Morrow, oh, man, what a great game he had. And Littleton, he's got a body of work, and so I'm not closing the door on him. I'm hoping he'll get this season righted and we'll have the linebacking core that we had hoped for with Morrow and Littleton and Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt H. Thanks for your call, brother. I appreciate that. And Littleton, you know, as we said earlier last week, we talked to Mo Moten. Maybe he just needs to play less snaps. I think Nick Morrow has earned snaps, so we'll probably see a little bit. And Hondo said, "Look, you're not going to hear them get up at the press conference and say, yeah, Corey Littleton's no longer starting, but I think you'll see a rotation that changes a little bit."
And that's something that we suggested before we even knew that he was going to be on the COVID-19 list.
Yeah.
We said, "Hey, maybe you ought to just take something away from him, give him a little bit of opportunity to sit there and observe from the sideline, and things may be a little bit different when you get back into the game."
Yep. Okay, one more call here before we get to the Q-tip, and that is our good buddy Gangster Raider down in L.A. Gangster Raider, what's going on, man? You enjoying their celebration today?
Yeah, man. I'm loving it. I'm feeling real good today, and I want to piggyback on what Hondo was saying. You know what I'm saying? Some of these fans don't really realize what we got. We undefeated in the AFC West. We're on the 3-game winning streak. Remember, I told y'all, I said we were going to win 6 in a row. We're halfway there. We in Kansas City head. We already went in their house and bashed their head in at their house. Now they got to come to Vegas. And you know they was watching us yesterday. They probably watched the game together, the team, with Andy Reid. That's how much we in their head. You know what I'm saying? And so all we got to do is come out, put on a good performance. But we'll talk about that later. I want to talk about the defense. He stepped up. Even Malik Collins stepped up. He even got a couple of tackles. You know what I mean? Rob Marinelli got the D-line playing better. And we looking like a real good team on both sides of the ball. And remember, my score prediction was 45-17. It was close. 37-12, you know what I'm saying? I was close. You know what I mean? Remember Q said that if I was a domino player, he'd know I always go for the high points, which I do. Yep. But I almost called it. You know what I'm saying? If they wouldn't have called back that Renfro touchdown, and if we'd have scored a couple of more field goals or touchdown when the offense mm-hmm. just sputtered, we could have easily scored 45. You know what I mean? Yep. And I just want to say, Raider fans, appreciate what we got. We undefeated in AFC. We got two brand-new stadiums. We got the one in Vegas. We got our vacation home in L.A., which we undefeated at. And we on our way. We on a playoff push. And we the only we the first playoff team to win a Super Bowl from the wild card position. All we got to do is get in. Once we get in the playoffs, anything can happen. I hear people saying we're not a Super Bowl team. Says who? You know what I mean? We 6-3 right now. We wasn't in a fifth spot in the playoff position, yep. and if we was in any other division, we'd be in first place. You know what I mean? And we just need somebody else to help us beat Kansas City because we beat them once, so we gonna beat them again. And if anybody else could beat them, we'd be in first place in our division. And I reject that notion that we're not a Super Bowl team. I'm saying, you're hearing it first right now from Gangsta Raider, the Las Vegas Raiders are a Super Bowl team. I'm the first one to say it, and I bet we're going to play Tampa Bay. That's why I hope April can play next time we meet up in the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. And I'm feeling good. Oh, yeah, Scott, I played a five-teamer yesterday for $40 and won $1,000.
Nice, man.
I know you don't gamble, Q, so I know no. Scott can feel me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Gangster Raider. Take care, man. I went 3-1. I didn't do parlays. I just bet individual games. But I've now gone 2 weeks in a row going 3-1, so I'm doing pretty well, too. Okay, it's that time of the day. We're not going to delay any longer. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Today I want to talk about something and somebody that really nobody's speaking on. And then I'm going to bring another guy into the mix that we're actually going to talk to later on the show. But Damon Arnett, rookie defensive back, number 19 overall in the draft. And I just want to talk about him because I think that it was really important. He was 19 overall, wasn't he? Or was he 21?
19.
Either way. 19, I think.
Yep.
Either way. He from Ohio State. He was out for a while, of course. He was dealing with injuries on the IR, COVID-19. He came back and played 45 snaps yesterday. I really, honestly, and Raider Nation, feel free to correct me if you're not. I think Damon Arnett had a really good game, and I think he was a big-time difference maker in that game. You know what I mean? I know Trayvon Mullen's a little banged up dealing with the hamstring injury. You can see he was struggling a little bit to change direction. That's why Jerry Jeudy got on top of him a couple times. But I'll say, man, they really targeted Trayvon Mullen a lot more, in my opinion, than they did Damon Arnett. And I feel like that swagger and that energy and that just, you know, go-get-it-ness and the kind of guy he is, you know, similar to Jonathan Abram, I feel like they really needed that and they were missing that. Just like when Abram was out that game with COVID-19 with the, you know, contact tracing. I feel like they missed him in a major way. And then that kind of made Nevin Lawson kick back to only 40 snaps. And Nevin Lawson, and I'm sure he'll admit it, has struggled, the previous games. But he made some plays on Sunday, and I feel like he had more opportunity to just go out there and play and not think because, well, he wasn't relied upon to be that outside dude each and every snap. You know what I mean? I just think it took a little bit of pressure off of him, and it allowed the rest of the defense to play a little bit more free and just kind of fly around to the ball. But I'll tell you, I think Damon Arnett, I think he's going to be a dog, and he kind of showed what he's worth in his game on Sunday.
Yeah, Q, it's a really astute observation that I think all of us have kind of glossed over because, as you know, we tend to get into storylines, the Jeff Heath storyline, the running storyline, all that kind of stuff. And you're right, because that defensive backfield, everybody's focusing on what John Abram didn't do, which is fine. That's a point of discussion. But what they did do in that defensive backfield outside of Jeff Heath was that. Also, though, I will say this real quick on the Trayvon Mullen thing. He got knocked out, dude, and I don't know how he got back in the game. I don't either, dog. I was vehemently opposed to that because he collapsed. Okay?
Collapsed, yeah.
And went unconscious for a point of time. At least he looked unconscious. Maybe he didn't, and we don't have all the facts. But from everybody there, we were shocked because I said there's no way he goes back in with NFL protocol after being knocked cold.
Thing.
And so so I think, and not that he didn't get burned before that, but I do also think that that had something to do with the way he played the rest of the game and why they targeted him. Because I'm like, dude, this guy just collapsed, and he's back in the game. We're throwing at him.
Hey, and the way he fell, dog, I'm not going to lie, that was scary.
It was scary as hell. Absolutely.
It was. I mean, he was up, and then all of a sudden he was down, and he did a couple little
and limp
flops.
Body. Yeah, he limp body collapsed. It was it was crazy. But Q, man, that was awesome, dude. Great, just astute look at that defensive backfield, and especially Damon Arnette, because having him back was a key difference.
It was big, huh?
Yeah, it was huge. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by, of course, the slot machine, Hunter Renfrow, who finally brought one back yesterday to have it called back. So we'll talk to him. 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872, coming up next after the break.
Out of the end zone, the very back of it, a beautiful booming kick drives Renfrow back to the Raiders 40, upfield 40, midfield. Now he cuts to the right, another penalty flag on the return, 30, 25, 20, and he's going to be into the end zone. Touchdown, but I'm afraid it's coming back.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfrow. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfrow. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, exclusively on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back here. Silver and Black Today, it is time for 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow. Off the Raiders' big 37-12 win against the Broncos yesterday at Allegiant Stadium. We go out on the newsmaker line. We bring in our good friend, the slot machine himself, Mr. Hunter Renfrow. Hunter, feeling pretty good after that second half yesterday, aren't you?
Yeah. It was a little iffy in the first half, but we finished the way we wanted, for sure.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, coming back in, we heard the call of your punt return for a touchdown, which I still think was a touchdown. And I know Q, early on in the season, he's been saying, Hunter's going to return one for a touchdown. I'm telling you, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. You finally get the chance, and hey, it happens all the time in the game where there's a play negated by a penalty. But looking back, and I'm not asking you to criticize the official because we know what comes with that, but Jonathan Abram with the hit, man, I still think it was a touchdown. But talk a little bit. Walk us through that and what your special teams was able to do in order for you to run that one back.
Yeah, it was funny. I talked to the Broncos returner, like, what do I have to do to get 30 yards of clearance before I even catch the ball? And that's just a credit to the guys on the front line. And I think they did a great job all day getting after the punter. They were backed up a lot, so our defense did a good job getting them three and out. And then our front line guys got a good rush. And when you able to get a good rush on a punter like that, usually get a quick kick and you're able to set up a return. And so I was able to just catch it with a lot of space. And yeah, you can't fault Jonathan. He's given his all, and he's trying to make a play for our team. And so unfortunate things happened, but thankfully we were able to score the next drive and go win the game.
Hunter, I've asked you multiple times about just the mindset that it goes into when you're back there about to receive the punt and knowing that you have an opportunity to make a play. When you are lined up and you know that the Broncos yesterday were lined up right by the end zone, on the butt of the end zone, and you're basically around the 50-yard line, you know that, hey, a big return here, and I might score or I might put the team in position to score. How does the mentality change a little bit? Because really, you had a really good game returning punts. Like, all three of your punts were really good returns.
I appreciate that. But, yeah, I think something that I learned, because I didn't really punt much or return too much in college, and something that I've learned since I've been in the NFL, when you get them backed up like that, a lot of times you want to go after the kick, and so they're late getting out. They're late on coverage team. They're having to block. Mm. And so if you can do that, which our guys did a good job of, then you're able to have that yard in front of you and a lot of space to be able to get a return. And usually I think there's a statistic. If they're punting from within the 10-yard line, then you have like 90% chance of getting points. So great job by defense, like I said, getting three and out. And, yeah, if you can have just a decent return,
then you should be guaranteed a field goal, if not a touchdown.
Hunter Renfroe joins us here, 13 minutes with Hunter Renfroe, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, you know, fans sometimes they get caught up in the glitz and the glamour of winning ball games, and they want to see 50, 60, 70-yard passes and the ball flying all over and Derek having 500 yards passing. Yesterday it was the opposite. You guys ran the ball down the throats of the Broncos. Josh Jacobs, Devontae Booker had a great game, and then you guys, when you needed to, you got some pass plays that really helped set you up for scoring. But for you, player on the field, you've said all along that, listen, we don't care how we win as long as we win. How was that yesterday watching both your running backs just be dominant?
Yeah, I think they both got game balls. Josh is Josh. He's an amazing runner, amazing teammate. He just does such a great job of turning those 2-yard losses into 3-yard gains, you know, and they're kind of a hidden yardage within the game. And then it was so fun to see Devontae Booker go out there against his old team, score 2 touchdowns, play as well as he did. I think that's just a sign of a good team. And a team that's getting better is just finding different ways to win. You can go and throw it. You can play well on special teams. You can play well on defense from game to game. And yesterday it was a defensive, just run the ball, win for us. And I couldn't be more proud of the team.
Hunter, you guys are on a 3-game winning streak right now. You're sitting at 6-3 over the course of the season. That's been a weird up-and-down season for everyone across the league, but somehow the Raiders have found ways to overcome these challenges. What in that locker room, when John Gruden addresses the team after a game, after a big win like yesterday's, what are you guys building? What is he saying that you guys are building?
Yeah, it's just a lot of excitement. Like you said, it's been a crazy year with Corona and not having our spring practice, our OTAs, and training camp being a little different. But I think we felt it early on during that in the workouts in the summer, going to the parks, getting together when a lot of teams, you know, weren't. And I think we knew we were built for special, and we felt that. And so when Coach Gruden says after the game, come on, yeah, we're building something special here. We got a bunch of young guys. Y'all like each other. Y'all committed. It's just reassurance of what we already knew, and we believe in each other, and it'll be tested this week against the Chiefs. So hopefully we can go 1-0 this week.
And Hunter, the question I asked Devontae yesterday in the postgame press conference to build on Q's question about just all the adversity you guys have faced, some out of your control, some outside the team, just with what's happening in the world. And then, of course, the injuries and the COVID stuff with the offensive line the 1 week, all that stuff that you guys have had piled upon you, yet you've come through it with really just glowing colors. I asked Devontae yesterday, how close has that made you as a team? Because I know chemistry, you had a lot of new guys, not only a little bit on offense, but also on defense. There's a lot of new personalities, a lot of new pieces. And he said you guys have gotten really close. Can you talk a little bit about that team chemistry and how you guys have forged that relationship together?
Yeah. Like I said earlier about just the camp and doing OTAs online, a lot of adversity. But I think the thing that has tied us together is our leadership and the guys that have been here for a couple of years, and we know their leaders, and they've really stepped up. People like Darren Waller, Derek Carr, that's on offense. And then on special teams, got like Eric Harris, Kyle Wilbur, just guys that have been around. You look to them in those times to bring people together. And, yeah, they're great players, but it's the reason why we're having some success is because those guys are able to get everyone together and play as one. And it's just fun to be around. It's fun to have so many different contributions from so many guys. So we know going forward, all right, it's week 15. This guy has COVID. All right, well, this backup has played 3 games already, you know. And so we have confidence that he'll go and make the play. I think it's going to bode well for us going down the stretch here.
Looking at the other side of the ball, and I know you go up against these guys in practice all the time, but, you know, Damon Arnette returns. He looks like he brought a spark. Obviously, Jonathan Abram is always a spark, but these guys look like they're just flying around right now. Is everything perfect? No, but it looks like they're flying around. They're having fun, and they're making plays. 5 turnovers they created yesterday, obviously. But how tough is this defense going against them in practice, and do you see them continuing to grow as well?
Yeah, absolutely. They're young as well, just like us. Got to have a lot of leadership. The thing that has been interesting and a lot of fun for me to see is them kind of struggle early on in the year, but just the way that they've practiced every single week and gotten better every single week. And it was just like a switch they turned on and said, all right, we're not playing how we want to. Let's pay more attention in practice. Let's pay more attention to getting turnovers. When someone does get a turnover, let's go and block for them. Let's celebrate it. And so whenever they do get that turnover in practice, it's something that's definitely coached, and it's a lot of fun when it happens. So when you come to game day, it's all about the ball, and everyone's trying to get the ball and get those turnovers. And it's just been a lot of fun. It really has been to see them go from the practice field, get better every week, and then have a performance like they did yesterday.
We're visiting with Hunter Renfro here on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. Hunter, the coaching staff, you know, last week we talked a little bit about Tom Cable and the job that he's done, amazing job that he's done with that offensive line and having to rotate new guys in every week. He had to do it again this game when Sam went down injured on the right side there. But what about the whole offensive coaching staff? I mean, you talk about Coach Gruden, you talk about Coach Olson. They really have done, an amazing job of keeping you guys focused and moving along despite all these pieces of adversity. Have they changed anything up, or are they just doing what they do best?
A little of both. they've changed. I mean, from game to game, they have to change some things to play to our strength. But, I mean, they are who they are. And who they are is just really good coaches. And they're really good at big picture-wise, putting things together. And Coach Gruden's such a mastermind on the offense. And Coach Ole as well, but they're also very personable to be able to kind of look in that microscope and fix the details they need to every single week. And then a guy like Coach Bennett, my receiver coach, has done a great job with our room. He really has, and I'm so excited to be able to play for him. He was at Green Bay with the Packers, and is in the Hall of Fame there, and was their OC a few years ago. But he's been a rock in our receiving room, and with so many young guys, he's just coached us up well, and I feel like we're playing pretty well right now.
We talked about how well of a game you had as far as returning kicks, the punt return game. But how about some other parts of the special teams, including A.J. Cole, the punter, and then also Daniel Carlson, the kicker. They both had really good games, in my opinion. What is it about that special teams unit and Rich Bisaccia, what he's got cooking on that side of the ball?
Yeah, Coach Bisaccia, he was one of the first coaches to believe in me. He came down to Clemson's Pro Day, and I just remember I was working after the pro day on, and it was like 20 minutes after everybody else stopped working, he was still coaching me through drills and putting me through drills to see if I could make it. But he does such a great job with AJ, like you mentioned. Had a great game yesterday. He punted the ball really well, had a bunch of balls inside the 10. Daniel was, I think, 3 for 3 on field goals and 4 for 4 in extra points, and I think he's 20 of his last 22 field goals made. And so he does a great job.
Hunter, before we let you go, you played last year with injured ribs. How tough of a dude is Alec Ingold that he played 12 plays yesterday with two broken ribs, and he contributed. He also played special teams. I know they took him out to give him some space, and Coach Gruden mentioned today that he was feeling much better today than he was this time last week. But talk to people about how, I mean, to play with ribs like that, you did it. You know how much it hurts. I mean, this guy's a tough dude.
He's a warrior, I mean, at one point, I'm so proud of him and just so thankful I have a teammate like that that's so tough. And when I watch the film and watch him play, I'm excited that he has the mindset to be able to do it. But also, I watch the film and I'm just kind of grinding my teeth because I know how bad those hits hurt, you know. And he's going in and hitting linebackers. It's not like he's out there running routes or he's throwing the ball or he's not getting touched. He's kicking the ball. I mean, his job is to hit people every play with two broken ribs. It really is so impressive. But that Alec Ingold is the epitome of our team and what we all try to be like. Just tough, no matter what it takes. We want to be out there for our brothers. And if we can all emulate that, then we'll have a special season and we're going to build something special.
Yeah, Hunter, you guys are doing that. You have this three-game winning streak. Of course, you got the big Sunday night game coming up against the Chiefs. I know you're just going to get started to that after you get your day off, get to the film. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a big one, exciting one, and you guys are on a roll. And I know the confidence is high, sky high across the board. And we wish you the best of luck against the Chiefs on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you again. We'll hopefully talk to you again next Monday after a win.
Yeah, another victory Monday would be good, my man. Take care now.
See you. Thanks.
All right, there you go. 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you
good
by
stuff.
Yes, Laver's Local 872, of course, bringing that to you. So, yeah, man, just you know, Hunter's one of those guys. He's always out there, and I asked him that question about Alec Ingold, man, because I watched some of that. I'm like, holy, right. I can't even imagine with two broken ribs, he was laying some wood on guys right. Early on in that game. So incredible, and that's
well, you know what I really and I'm glad you brought that up about Alec Ingold as well, because it was something that I wanted to bring up and I totally forgot. But him and Josh Jacobs are so close. I mean,
yeah.
They are
yes.
Brother on brother. You know what I mean? Like, Josh Jacobs is having a monster game. He just scored his second touchdown of the game. Instead of celebrating and whatever in the end zone, dancing and all that, he you know, drops the ball, gives it to the official, runs to the sideline. The first dude he goes and seeks out is Alec Ingold and gets in his ear. You know what I mean? It's yep. Just like almost encouraging him, like, hey, bro, I got your back. I know you're out there hurting, but I appreciate your efforts. That kind of stuff. And those are leadership, like quiet leadership that goes a long way amongst your brothers out there on the field.
Yeah, and that chemistry, that's why I asked him about the team getting closer and closer, because you know when these teams make championship runs, you always see that. It's usually after the fact when they talk about how they were successful on how close that adversity or something brought them closer together. And so I'm starting to see that with this Raider team. You can see it in the relationships you just mentioned, one of the great ones that's been, you know, created over 2 years, but with everything that's going on this year, it means even more. Okay, we're going to step aside for our last break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the Raiders cornerback, Nevin Lawson, who put together a nice game. Listen, every defensive back on this team has struggled at times this year, Nevin Lawson included, but he really came back strong against the Broncos. So we'll talk to him about that performance, about the defensive backfield, how they're doing, and also talk to him about his continued work down in South Florida with first responders and healthcare workers during COVID and what he's been doing. Just amazing, amazing work by a really fine young man. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black Today, Victory Monday. Yes, Raiders are 6-3, 3-0 in the AFC West. Are you excited, Raider Nation? By the way, the calls have been coming in. It sounds like it. We're going to get one call in quick. This is our last call today because we got Nevin Lawson, the Raiders cornerback, coming up in just a second. Saul in Las Vegas, you're on with your boy Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man.
Chilling.
Hey, I just wanted to call in real quick. And it feels good to be a Raider fan right now. I mean, it's really exciting times being a lifelong Raider fan all my life. And moving out here from California to Vegas, it just feels good, you know. And I think, honestly, we got to give a lot of props to these coaches, all the coaches, from the head coach to the defensive coach, all these coaches for making the adjustments that we've been harping on them to do. You know, I've seen different players in and out of there on both sides, switching it up pretty nicely. And, you know, they're coaching this team up, and this team is responding, and the leadership on this team just – hearing the interview you just had with Renfro, man, this dude is, I mean, he just sounds, well, every team needs on their team. This is this guy. I hope he's a Raider for a long time, because the way he talks, the way he carries himself, and, you know, it's just a representation of what we want our Raiders going forward to be like. And it's just awesome time right now. I'm just happy where we're at, and I know we're going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, there you go. Saul, thanks for the call, man. And again, our callers are just good, man. I mean, I appreciate Raider Nation out there calling and being positive. And he's right. Look, nothing's perfect. This team's got a long way to go. But he's right about Hunter and what you hear from those other players. And in fact, we're going to have Nevin Lawson here in a minute. But you hear it in their voice. You understand the dedication they have to the mission and kind of the overall culture cue. And they all seem to be living it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we learn something new every week when we talk to Hunter. I mean, he just gives us a little bit of insight of what's going on at the training facility, inside the locker room, and just what these guys are sharing amongst each other. And without telling us too much, he tells us enough. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I think it's really a great time to have that 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro that we have every week, because I feel like I come away with that conversation with some new knowledge.
Yep, and we go back out on the newsmaker line. We bring in another Raiders player today, of course. As we said earlier, cornerback Nevin Lawson joins us. We're going to talk to him a little about the game, but also talk to him about some great continued work that he's doing in two communities now with his Honoring Those Who Have Served, and that, of course, Nevin Lawson. Nevin, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the big win yesterday.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
All right, let's start with the game yesterday, Nevin. And you guys, you know, the offense struggled in the first half. So you guys on defense, I mean, arguably your best game. I mean, the turnovers, everything that you're able to do. You know, Trayvon went out early a little bit. Looked like he got knocked out. He came back in. You performed well. Damon was back. It just looked like everything started to click yesterday for everyone. Talk about that a little bit and how it felt being out there against the Broncos on Sunday.
It felt good. It felt good. You know, as a defense, we've just been preaching like we have yet to play our best game, where everybody's clicking, where the pass rush matched the coverage. You know, so it's just something that we're trying to perfect on the defensive side, is play as one and outplay our last performance. And I felt like we just clicked. Everybody bought in to the game plan. We had a great practice that week, and we went out there on Sunday and it showed.
Was there something that you guys saw in film, or Paul Gunther might have pointed out, that said, hey, these are your opportunities? You know, Drew Lock is going to give you these opportunities. It's up to us to go make these plays. Was that something that you guys picked up on in film study?
Oh, definitely. We know for a fact that if we could stop the run game down and we could make him pass the ball, it will be opportunities to make some plays on that ball. And we stopped the run, and we made him throw the ball, and we was able to put pressure on the quarterback with that D-line. They was outstanding, and the guys on the back end was able to make some plays.
And again, we're joined by Raiders cornerback Nevin Lawson. And Nevin, before we get to your charity work, one last question. You talked about the defensive front matching the backfield there, right? Well, matching the coverage. The guys up front, let's face it, they've gotten criticism. They've struggled a little bit. They've really, over the last 3 weeks, started to come into their own and started to create more pressure. How have you guys been there to kind of encourage them and keep them kind of focused on just doing what they needed to do to get the job done?
Well, it's not just on the front seven. It's definitely on the secondary as well. I mean, we can't make plays without one another. So in order for us to put pressure on the quarterback, that we have to make the quarterback be able to go to his second read. And then if the quarterback goes to his second read, that gives the D-line a chance to get home. So it's not just on them. So I feel like it's we both have to be on the same page in order for the D line to make plays and the secondary to make plays.
How much easier, not easier, that's the wrong word, but how much more free were you guys able to play in the secondary with the return of Damon Arnett?
It was fun, man. It was fun. You know, Damon plays with a lot of energy. He's a heck of a talent. So it was definitely fun. To have Damon out there, and that just gave us another great talent on the field to be able to make plays, and for that D line to get home, because they're able to go to the quarterback is able to have to go to a second read. So it was good and fun.
Nevin, I know as you celebrate a win in the NFL, it's sort of short-lived because you got to focus on the next week. Of course, coming in Sunday night, you have the Chiefs coming in. You already beat them once. It's a big game on national TV. How excited are you guys to now go out there on a three-game win streak and face the first-place team in the division, and maybe for you guys to make a play for that division title?
Man, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. I mean, this is where we want to be, you know. We all know it's no secret. In order for us to be able to get to our goals that we want to achieve, we have to go through Kansas City. And they're in our way, and this is an opportunity for us to step up to the challenge and go be great.
Nevin, did you think that Nick Witkowski had those kind of hops and was able to jump up there and snatch a ball one-handed like that?
I don't know about the one hand, but I definitely knew he was athletic enough to make a play like that, though.
Raiders cornerback Nevin Lawson is with us. And, Nevin, the last time we talked to you some months ago, we talked to you about the incredible charity work you were doing down in your home, Broward County, down in Florida, with the United Way of Broward County, honoring those who had served. You were feeding first responders. You were feeding healthcare when this whole COVID thing started. You've now expanded that to Las Vegas as well, doing amazing things here in the community. Talk a little bit about where that's at and how satisfying that's been for you to give back to those two communities you live in.
It's been great, man. It's been going great. You know what I'm saying? I'm blessed to be in the position that I am, and to have the platform that I have. So, you know, I feel like it's my duty to give back or serve others. And one of the things that's really close to me is that my dad served in the Army, and I have a brother right now that's over there in Iraq serving. So, you know, I wanted to give back to the veterans. That's something that I always thought about, you know what I'm saying? And believe it or not, it's a lot of homeless veterans that served our country. And to me, it really bothers me to know that we have people that put their life on the line and served our country and is homeless. And I feel like that shouldn't be that way. If anybody should have benefits or be taken care of, you know, politicians have a salary or health care after their career is over. In my opinion, I feel like our veterans are people who served our country and put their life on the line for us to be free over here should have some type of benefits or something where they're taken care of. So that really bothers me. So I wanted to do something for the veterans, especially the ones that's homeless. So my foundation and my team, we linked up with U.S. Vets out here in Vegas that has a large population of homeless vets. And we just wanted to do something special for them, help them with some essentials. My brother, he has a few barbershops down there in South Florida, so we flew out some barbers, have him come out here in Vegas, you know, give him haircuts. And we're going to continue to work with U.S. Vets to, you know, continue to help these vets. And U.S. Vets Association, they're doing a great job. They give these vets a place, home. They help them to get jobs, you know. So they're doing a great job. And whatever I could do, me and my foundation, to help them, I definitely want to keep on doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's true. You guys had an event right before Veterans Day, but you continue to support. And you can reach out to U.S. Vets at 702-281-6442. Of course, the Nevin Lawson Foundation doing so much there. And Nevin, I mean, thank you, man, because that we've all had family members who've served, and you're right. There's a lot of homeless vets on the streets here in Las Vegas, in South Florida, all over the country, and it's really something we should do. And I appreciate you, like you said, using your platform as someone that's a professional athlete. You know, some guys could just turn the other way to that, but I know how much it means to you and what your foundation's doing, so thanks for doing that for everybody.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Nevin. Hey, listen, man, good luck. Enjoy your victory Monday. I know it's short-lived because you're going to prepare for the Chiefs, but we'll see you out there at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday night, and good luck to you.
Thank you, guys. You guys take care.
All right.
Absolutely.
There you go. Nevin Lawson. Yeah, good stuff. And you know, we all get caught up in talking about players and their performance. And, you know, yeah, sometimes we're critical of guys, including Nevin. But the reality is, look at what these guys do every day. And here's a guy, Q, doing so much off the field. And it's important that shows like ours bring that to the fans, because you need to know these guys besides the stats and the numbers. You need to know that these guys, yes, they're blessed with talent and money and all this, but they also are really having impact in their community.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's big, man. You know, and he's right about what he said about veterans. You know, they're probably the most mistreated people that do as much work as they do for the community and for the country. And it's kind of like, well, once they're done, it's just kind of left at the wayside. And so for him to make sure to go out of his way to try to help them out in any way, shape or form he can is awesome. And really, we all need to do a lot better job of that, of taking care of the ones that take care of us.
No doubt about that. Yeah, there's so many different ways for you to give back in your community. And again, here in Las Vegas, you can take care of that as well. Just reach out to U.S. Vets at 702-281-6442, the Nevin Lawson Foundation, a lot of other sponsors too, both here and in Broward County, Florida. So if you're down in Fort Lauderdale as well, the United Way down there is helping Nevin out, as well as the Clark County Credit Union and others here in Las Vegas. So pretty good stuff, man. Wow, Victory Monday coming to a close here, Q. And I know we're going to start shifting focus after tomorrow to the Chiefs game. But as a few of our callers have said today, I think Raider fans, they got to feel really good about where this team is, considering especially the amount of injuries that this team has had. Right. To be at 6-3 is pretty remarkable.
It is, and I've said it multiple times on this show, and I'll continue to say it. The Raiders have shown that they can compete with anyone in the league. There's not a team in the league that I think that, oh, they can't run with them. I'm not saying they're going to win every single game, but I'm saying that they can run with any single team in the league, and I think they've proven that. So that's just hats off to them for what they've been able to do, even with, you know, second and third stringers in there at times.
Yeah, and Q, you know, I know Hondo has said repeatedly, and not that I disagree with him, but he said, look, this is not a Super Bowl team, this is a playoff team. And then Gangster Raider says, no, this, why not the Super Bowl? And I have to say this. Look, I think you have to manage your expectations, I think, is what more Hondo touches on.
Yep.
But I watched the Ravens last night. I know it was pouring at the end there, and they didn't really have a chance to come back. But I watched the Patriots beat the Ravens, and I watched what's happening around the league, and it's a weird year. And you know what? Anything can really happen. I'm not saying
the Raiders
are going to go to the Super Bowl. But you look how bad some of these teams are, and you look at the Raiders in that number five spot. And yeah, it's only 9 weeks, okay? But if you put together those streaks, you beat who you're supposed to beat, and then you win a couple of unexpected games like the Chiefs on Sunday, man, you can gain the confidence, because there's nothing more dangerous than a team that's on a streak that has confidence and swagger. And if the Raiders can get there, you know, you just don't know how far they can go. I was thinking, well, geez, they make the playoffs, that's success. But now I'm thinking, man, they could win a game, win two games, and all bets are off, to your point about them being able to beat anybody.
The other thing is they're 4-1 right now on the road.
Yes.
So, and they have a run game, and run games are going to be important when the weather changes and when it's playoff time. So they have elements to this team that can go as far as they want to go. But they, I mean, obviously they got to take it 1 week at a time, and they've got to go out there and win their games. And, you know, this will be a big one on Sunday if they're able to pull this victory off. And that swagger and that confidence that you mentioned is the exact reason why I think they pull this game off on Sunday.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, this run game bodes well for that late that January game in Denver, when it's going to be miserable and you got to just grind it out to get a win against a bad Broncos
team. Look at Cleveland.
Yeah.
Look what the Raiders did in Cleveland.
Yeah, and look what Cleveland did yesterday with Houston. I mean, you talk, again, another bad weather game. Q, my partner, thanks as always, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. Tell Vinny I said have a good show.
I will do that. For Q Myers, for Bobby, who keeps us all moving, I'm Scott Gilbranson, and thanks to all of you, Raider Nation, the best fans there are in professional sports. We appreciate you learning, calling in, and enjoying this Victory Monday with us. We will talk to you tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m. here on Raider Nation Radio on Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash. Injury Attorney 702-820-1234. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at SilverBlack, the number 2 day. At LV Gully and at your boy Q254. Take care, everybody.